Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for joining us here today. Great to have you along for another program. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on our show, we'll talk markets in just a moment with Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst with Bar Chart. In segment two, we're going to get an update on the weather. Had a lot of frost advisories and freeze warnings over the weekend, and still seeing some of that cold weather hanging around, plus some high winds and more, maybe some severe weather later this week. What are we looking at for planting windows? John Baranek with DTN is going to stop by and give us a rundown of the weather outlook here for the week ahead in segment two. Then coming up in segment three, we saw the news on Friday, the EPA rolling out that emergency waiver for summertime E15 sales. We're going to talk about that and other ethanol-related topics. Brian Jennings, CEO of the American Coalition of Ethanol, is going to join us here after the bottom of the hour for a conversation. And then at the end of the show, we're going to get an update on the wildfire recovery efforts throughout Texas and the Southern Plains. Ryan Morehouse with the Beef Checkoff and Cattlemen's Beef Board is in Texas. He's going to join the show for an update coming up here at the end of AOA today. Brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, let's kick off the show here today and take a look at what is happening in the markets. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart, joins us. Darren, good to have you back on the show again this week. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, good morning, Jesse. Doing well. Had another nice weekend, and sounds like you've got quite a lineup today. A lot to talk about. It was a very busy weekend.
It was a very busy weekend indeed, and great show here today, of course. And we'll kick it off with you and talk markets. And I want to say, I'll start with this. I love daily on X or the X Twitter or whatever we want to call it now. You post a chart of the day, and it's always fascinating to take a look at these things. And I know you threw up gold here on Monday morning. Gold currently down about $60 an ounce that last I looked. So what's going on in the gold market, Darren? Let's start there.
Yeah, you know, last Friday, I take part in another media outlet's gold poll and discussion every Friday. And at the end of last week, I said, look, this market looks overbought, but I'm not going to be the first one to sell. So I'm going to call it up again this week. And then over the weekend, you know, you were talking about weekend headlines in ag, but over the weekend, we saw where the U.S. House passed a Ukrainian aid bill, also tied to Israel. And it seems like the investment side of the market is viewing this as a decrease in the possibility of chaos, geopolitical chaos. I view it differently because I think the agents of chaos, most notably Russia and China, are going to view this as inflammatory. And I think we're going to see an escalation, but that's not the way the market's viewing it right now. You know, when you have a market like gold at all-time highs, and we're seeing it in coffee as well, but when you have a market like gold that's at all-time highs and it's been pushed, to the levels that it has, all of a sudden you have to figure out where's the next round of buying coming from. And so now we're at a Monday. We've got a long way to go until we start positioning for the next weekend. So there's some time and space for gold to come back down once the reality sets in that, you know, okay, you know, we really still have, you know, problems around the world. They're not going away. They're only going to get worse. Then I think we probably see the buyers come back in at the end of this week.
Interesting. It's been a volatile gold market, no doubt. And you mentioned coffee in there, cocoa, crude, all these outside markets have been volatile. On the flip side, corn hasn't been volatile. No. Darren. Corn really hasn't been doing a whole lot. And someone posed a question to me too online this weekend that it feels like there really hasn't been a lot of enthusiasm in the grains for quite some time. And I know you just wrote a piece for Bar Chart as well. Is corn a good long-term investment? Your thoughts on this stagnant corn market is probably the best way I could sum it up right now, Darren.
Stagnant is a great word for it. And we have to remember, this is what corn likes to do. Corn likes to go sideways. Because, you know, even though I know there's a lot of folks that say, yeah, fundamentals change every day, they don't. We haven't seen a fundamental change in corn for quite some time. Now, that being said, we're in a time of year where seasonally basis continues to firm. That's exactly what we're seeing. Future spreads right now are are neutral. So there is no real fundamental change. To me, the biggest factor in the corn market at this point is the large net short futures position held by non-commercial traders. Last Friday's CFTC report, commitment to traders report, again, legacy futures only, showed this group had actually increased their net short by an interesting number, 14,666. I always get a kick out of it when that sort of thing happens, pushing it to almost 205,000 contracts. This, despite the fact that we really didn't see much change in the futures market from a Tuesday to Tuesday a week ago. So that tells us that, you know, with that type of non-commercial selling and not much change in the futures market, there's a lot more support coming from the commercial side. So why would that be? They still need short-term supplies. Again, we can see that in basis. So they're supporting the market against this non-commercial selling. And we have short-term demand. We have, and the idea is producers are going to be going out to the field. So the trucks moving to these end users are going to start to slow down. So, you know, the market all kind of makes sense in here. But to me, if funds give or get a reason to start covering this short, and there's no selling on top of it, that could be the next move. That could be what finally breaks corn out of this stagnant trend that you talked about.
Wheat's up a bit here to start the week. I know there's chatter out there about weather concerns in Europe and in Kansas and the plains. Is that the main catalyst, do you think, Darren, in this wheat market, or is there something else underlying here to start?
Fundamentally, there's nothing to get excited about. So I think it does come down to weather. We saw some freezing temperatures across the plains this past weekend, both on Saturday morning and Sunday morning. We also saw, again, going back to last Friday's CFTC reports, we saw where funds had increased both their Chicago and Kansas City net short futures positions. Not a huge surprise given how bearish some of the future spreads are, particularly in Chicago. But if there is a concern about weather, it's just the latest in a long line of freezes that we've seen. It's just, you know, this one comes in late April. So I think there is some buying connected to that. From a technical point of view, we are seeing July Kansas City getting ready for a bullish breakout if it can get through some previous highs. And you know, given that so much of this trade is based on algorithms, that could be enough to trigger some of the buying. Again, like what we talked about with corn, some of this short, non-commercial short covering. And again, that could boost the market, even if fundamentals haven't changed all that much.
Real quick, cattle, we had that on-feed report Friday afternoon, neutral to maybe slightly bullish. Feels like futures are higher Monday morning. Feels like nothing to see here as expected, at least in my mind, Darren.
Yeah, I agree. The report basically just confirmed what we saw with future spreads and cash markets and futures markets during the course of March. So again, there really wasn't any surprise. We saw right off the bat this morning, there was some fund buying tied to this, not a great amount. I would look for the market to settle a little bit. Not much happening in cash towards the end of last week or the boxed beef market. So yeah, I think it's mostly, as you said, not much to see here.
Folks can learn more at DarrenNewsom.com with that senior market analyst with Bar Chart, Darren Newsom. Always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on AOA, Darren. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
All right, coming up next on AOA, brought to you by CentX. Not all grease created equal. Find more at CentX.com. We'll talk weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek on the way right after this. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research, funded by the V Foundation, is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Give to the V Foundation. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. 100% of your donation goes directly to game-changing research. 100%. Donate at v.org. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, let's turn our attention to the weather. How are things looking here as we get into this upcoming week and really into the back half of April? Spring planting season should be well underway in many areas or close to it. Welcome back to AOA. Jesse Allen with you here. Show brought to you by Cenex, premium diesel and premium lubricants. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at cenex.com. Joining us now, DTED meteorologist John Baranek is with us. John, thanks for joining us, and hope you had a good weekend. Sound like a lot of areas had some pretty frosty temperatures for much of the country, John.
Yeah, it was a little chilly here for a lot of us. We had this kind of some frost out there in the southwestern plains, but I think a lot of folks, you know, around the Midwest were a little surprised, a little kind of, I don't know if they were dumbfounded, but just, you know, it's been so warm that you get a couple of frosty mornings like, hey, where'd this come from? So, yeah, we had it was a little chilly, and we'll get another burst of some chilly weather there, especially across the Midwest for Wednesday and Thursday. But, you know, and it's spring, right? We should expect some up and down temperatures. That happens.
Yeah, it does happen. I think, thankfully, for the most part, a lot of that seed that might be in the ground already, or there's a lot of areas where there's not some in yet where it got really cold. So I don't think, and this is me putting on my very basic agronomy hat, I don't think that the cold and the frost is going to do much of any damage to some of that early planted crop, John.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Unless there was somebody out in the Dakotas that had something that was fairly well developed at this point, which is kind of hard to say that they did. It was a lot of light frost, right? The lows got down to about 32 or 30 degrees here across the Midwest and southwestern plains. So I don't think it really caused a whole lot of damage. I think maybe for those folks that have some wheat that's a little bit more advanced out there in kind of western Kansas or eastern Colorado, possibly. But overall, I would say a non-event for any sort of damage or you know, fears about needing to do any replanting or anything like that. It's just too early on in the growing cycle for any of that. So hopefully, and probably too early for folks to really care too much about planting, right? You know, if it just got down to 32 degrees, you know, daytime highs are in the 50s or 60s or 70s in some spots. So overall, it's, you know, I would say pretty decent weather at the moment.
It has been. You mentioned Kansas. I want to ask you about that area, the Central Plains into the Southern Plains, real quick. We talked about this with Darren in segment one. Maybe these wheat markets getting a little concerned about weather in that part of the country. I've heard some chatter from some folks just how dry it's been overall in some of that KC wheat country. I know there's some concerns over in Europe, too, in wheat country here the last couple of days. I mean, but focusing on the Central Plains, are you hearing some of those same concerns from farmers with just the current weather situation?
Yeah, there's a lot of weather concerns for wheat pretty much worldwide right now, which is kind of amazing. You know, the last couple of years, it's been kind of ho-hum about that outside of what's been going on here in the U.S. And yeah, unfortunately, again, here in the U.S., it's not great either, especially when you get out to the plains in the hard red winter wheat areas in Kansas. It's been a really active spring, lots of systems moving through and plenty of rainfall for a lot of areas, but not there. Everything's been kind of just passing over them. You get, you know, a quarter inch here or there every other week, and that doesn't really amount to much. And, you know, wheat does have a lot of lives to it. And you know, we're getting to the point here where we're getting kind of late in the spring for it to be this dry. And they're going to need some good precipitation here coming up pretty shortly before, you know, things start going off the rails here in a negative direction. I think luckily enough, though, Jesse, we've got some active weather coming for later this week. And that should, you know, at least give them some really good chances here over the next few weeks of getting some good rainfall in there. And it's almost going to be the perfect setup. We're going to get this ridge to move over to the eastern half of the U.S. and Canada, replacing a trough out there that's bringing us our cold. And then we're going to get a bunch of systems coming off the Pacific Ocean to move into the west, kind of develop a little bit, and then move through the plains and Midwest. And it's going to bring quite a bit of precipitation here through early May, at least through early May. We've got at least like a 10 or 14 day stretch. We're going to get system after system, bing, 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 moving through, very short breaks between them. If we go towards the kind of the first in the series is really starting up here on Thursday, and really is kind of from Canada all the way down to Texas, pretty widespread event here, starts on Thursday, heads into the Midwest on Friday, and, you know, kind of goes through the Great Lakes there on Saturday. And, you know, that's putting down, you know, it's showers and thunderstorms, but, you know, it's putting down some pretty good chances kind of everywhere, that this moves through. And that's going to be good news there for those wheat growers down in Kansas and those other areas that are getting pretty dry. And then right after that, we got another impulse for Saturday, Sunday into Monday, over the kind of similar areas, bringing another round of really good rainfall. So if you add it up, we're looking at kind of widespread 1 to 3 inches across the plains and Midwest. You know, we don't really see that kind of very often. So this looks like a pretty good event. And then we've got many more systems in the pipeline, for next week and into, early May. So, things at least look better than they have been for a while here for Kansas. I mean, it just always seems to be that, oh, great, here looks like a good system that is going to happen for Kansas. Looks like they're going to get some rain out of it. Well, then the low center actually goes just north of them and they dry out, or it's just south of them like the weekend and Texas gets plenty of rain, but they miss out. So, I mean, it's just kind of skipped around them out there. But this, I mean, there's so many in the pipeline, Jesse, that it's going to be hard for them to get missed by everything. So I think we've got some good chances there for them.
We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here on AOA. And John, thinking about those systems in the pipeline, I'll ask this real quick. As far as planting windows here for the next few weeks ahead, really across the Corn Belt, are we going to be able to find some decent windows to advance that spring planting? What's kind of the longer range 14 day beyond that model's kind of showing you right now, John?
Yeah. And that's the big question, Jesse. Honestly, if you have some decent enough conditions here over the next couple of days where you're thinking about doing it and you're in the plains or you're in the Midwest, man, it seems like, I mean, I hate to give farmers advice because I don't know your situation and everything. And you know well more than I do about what's going on your farm. But, and it looks like the next couple of days look great and thereafter looks kind of dicey. All these systems are in rapid succession. You know, I talked about through the weekend and into Monday as being kind of, you know, a time period here of some pretty consistent rainfall across a lot of the country. And then you get a day or two break, and then we get another system moving right back in kind of the middle of next week. And another one behind that for the weekend after that. So, I mean, the windows between these systems are a day, maybe two, and it doesn't really give you a large time window in between to maybe get things to dry out a bit or have conditions improve. I think if you've got some time over the next couple of days, I'd use it. I'd maximize my time there and just hope that, you know, if you're a little wet now, that we kind of miss out on one or two of these and just get a window in there that you luck out. Otherwise, we're looking towards kind of mid-May as when things hopefully or maybe slow down a bit. We'll see how that actually works out. Models at this time of year here in the spring don't do great on the long-term forecast. Sure. We'll have to kind of keep it going day by day. But the pattern here for about 10 to 14 day period coming up are going to be pretty wet.
John, we got about a minute. South America, real quick. I know it sounds like the wet season showers in Brazil are effectively over at this point.
That's right, they are. Front came through early to mid last week and shut everything down. We'll still see some isolated showers in Mato Grosso at times, but it's not going to amount to really much of anything. Everything's really shifted north into the Amazon or farther north. And so they're drying out there in Brazil, and that Safrina corn crop is going to have to rely on all that moisture they didn't build up on over the wet season. It's been some good weather over the last couple of weeks, but it's going to be tough for that crop going forward. And on the flip side, Argentina is trying to harvest their corn and soybeans, and they're behind schedule, and everything's been pretty wet. And they've got kind of wet weather continuing down there, at least through this week and probably into next week as well. So things not going so well down in South America at the moment.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on that and the planting windows here in the U.S. Folks can stay up to date with the weather, dtnpf.com. With that, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jesse. Good to talk to you.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. When the temperature goes down, so can your equipment. Cenex premium diesel fuel, built with a balanced additive package to keep equipment moving. Learn more at cenex.com. We'll talk with Brian Jennings from the American Coalition for Ethanol on the way right after the break.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this look at agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. Corn, the Corn Belt experiencing a mostly dry weekend, that after receiving widespread precipitation last week. The exception being where rain fell this weekend was from central Texas to Georgia, areas where corn planting has been more active. This week, the Corn Belt will receive a mix of increased rain and warmer temperatures starting Thursday. That's expected to be mostly favorable for planting conditions, even if rain slows down the pace a bit. The eastern Corn Belt may be susceptible to areas of too much rain, grain. For now, December corn prices remain pressured by larger supplies in 2023-24 and the slow harvest of Argentina's corn crop. Soybeans in November are showing caution after Friday's 11¾-cent gain. That pointed to concerns about wet conditions in Argentina and southern Brazil, those hindering the remaining soybean harvest there. Today's USDA crop progress report is expected to show limited planting progress in central and southern states, but not much progress in northern states yet after experiencing cold and wet conditions most of last week. Temperatures will turn warmer farther north by Wednesday. Rain chances across the Midwest will increase starting Thursday, offering a wetter start to the planting season. For wheat, here in the U.S., heavy rain amounts are expected in the central plains the next 7 days. Some, but not all, dry areas in the southwestern plains will benefit from that rain. For some soft red wheat areas, the rain is at risk of getting excessive. For spring wheat areas, the rains are expected to be lighter and will be beneficial. Canada's western Canadian prairies don't have much rain in the forecast and do need more. And the cattle on feed numbers Friday showing 1% below trade estimates. That should support futures. That's a check at market information from the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime is a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more online. Just go to Cenex.com. Well, on Friday, we got, as expected, an emergency waiver for summertime sales of E15 gasoline released by the Environmental Protection Agency and the Biden administration, a move hailed by many folks throughout the ethanol and corn industries. And joining us now to discuss that news and more, we have been long overdue for a conversation with the CEO of the American Coalition for Ethanol, Brian Jennings. Brian, welcome back to AOA. Thanks for joining us. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jesse. I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Well, let's start with the news, of course, from Friday, the EPA emergency waiver allowing E15 this summer, as they've done the last 2 years prior, doing it again here for 2024. And I know this news, welcome news, maybe took us a little longer than we hoped for, but we got this news in time for the summer driving season, didn't we, Brian?
Yeah, Jesse, I thought you described it really well in your intro. This was expected. The signals were pretty clear from the Biden administration, whether we're talking about USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack or some of the people at EPA that we met with or members of Congress. There was the feeling that the conditions were right to enable the Biden administration, as you indicated, for the third time in a row now, to invoke this emergency authority. And there has to be very specific sort of conditions in the fuel market in order for them to invoke this emergency authority. And that has to do with whether there are extreme and unusual circumstances affecting the supply of crude oil and gasoline. And what the administration the past 2 years, Jesse, has used as their rationale for emergency waivers for E15 in the summer has been, of course, the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine and some of the turmoil that's caused the marketplace. That continues to be the case, of course. And so EPA's letter on Friday indicated that that was one of the rationales, again, the ongoing conflict, the war in Ukraine. But then added to that, of course, are the additional concerns we have about conflicts in the Middle East right now, particularly, Gaza's attack on Israel, Israel's response. We have Houthi terrorist rebels that are attacking crude oil shipments in the Red Sea. And so there's a whole nother layer of volatility that's been laid on the marketplace. And so the administration also cited that in their letter. And so we expected this. I know it did come later than I think a lot of people would have liked, but in the past, this announcement didn't come until about this time in April. And so we were sort of expecting it to be about this time of the month, maybe even later. But here's the good news. Every single state in the country can have access to E15 throughout the summer driving season. And that's the most important takeaway here, because E15 is going to save those who choose to use it somewhere between a nickel a gallon upwards of maybe 20 cents a gallon. And it's also a higher octane, lower carbon fuel. So it's good for everybody.
Definitely good news, Brian. Let's talk about where we go from here, though. I know earlier this year, the Biden administration confirmed that petition from 8 Midwest governors to have year-round E15 in 8 Midwest states, but they postponed that until 2025. And I know we're still working on legislation to make E15 year-round nationwide. That feels like kind of the next steps in front of us in terms of E15, right?
You are exactly correct. That's the next logical step that we need to take. Here's the good news. If you live in Illinois or Iowa or South Dakota, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, or Wisconsin, if you live in one of those 8 states, this issue is solved for you, because as you just cited, there was a petition from these 8 states, the governors in those states, to permanently allow E15. And so when you combine the fact that they're going to be allowed to use E15 permanently starting next year with this summer waiver, those 8 states are taken care of. So what do we do about the 42 other states that we need badly to have access to this? And that's when it comes to this bipartisan legislation pending in Congress. My group, the American Coalition for Ethanol, had a fly-in to Washington, D.C. Earlier this year, where our top priority was a bill called the Nationwide Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act, and that's authored by Republican Senator Deb Fischer of Nebraska, and it's got bipartisan support, so there's Democrats and Republicans that are supporting this. I think the trick, Jesse, is that this is such a short window in an election year to try to get something done. The feedback we got from our champions on the Hill, Senator Fischer and others, is that let's push for this over the course of the summer months. Let's try to get more co-sponsors for this bill. And then the likelihood is we try to see what we can do in sort of a lame duck session of Congress, meaning after the early November election. Is there a must-pass bill this fall that we can sort of hitch a ride on with this E15 legislation? So that is the next logical step to take care of this once and for all, so we don't have to keep relying on these emergency waivers, because the conditions in the fuel market, we hope, frankly, don't always warrant sort of an emergency declaration. So that's our next step is legislation in Congress.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more there. We're talking with the American Coalition for Ethanol CEO, Brian Jennings. Brian, let's talk sustainable aviation fuel, the GREET modeling. This is another topic we're waiting on news on what exactly this is going to look like. The administration, of course, had set their own target deadline of March 1st. That came and went, didn't happen. They said we were going to have a delay here for what they presume to be a few weeks. Any updates on where things stand with this GREET modeling? Have you heard anything in terms of when we might see this news get rolled out?
Both USDA and the EPA officials that we talked to are hopeful that this updated GREET model, and for your listeners, it's the Greenhouse Gases Regulated Emissions and Energy Use and Technologies model developed by the Department of Energy, which is sort of the gold standard for determining the emissions of producing sustainable aviation fuel from sort of any source. They all signal that the expectation is that this updated model will come out sometime this month or early next month. So I think in the next 2 to 3 weeks is what we're looking at. And the details of what we're really needing to pay attention to, Jesse, boil down to the following. On one hand, we know that there will be some carbon credits, so emission reductions from so-called climate smart agriculture practices, which is great. For example, reduced tillage to produce corn, precise use of fertilizer, 4R nutrient management, maybe in some instances cover crops. So that would be a good thing. The counterbalance to that, or the concern that we have about what this updated model might look like for sustainable aviation fuel, Jesse, is what sort of land use change assumptions are going to be made by those who are working on this. And it gets complicated because it's out of the control of USDA. If USDA were the only one doing this, we'd have the model by now, and I think it'd be in really good shape. But you have EPA's hands are in the pot. You have the Department of Energy. You have the Federal Aviation Administration. And then after all, the ultimate body in charge of this whole thing, because it's a tax credit, is the Department of Treasury. And so we're sort of waiting for all of those government agencies to get their act together and finally come out with this update, so we can know if biodiesel and ethanol can be used as a feedstock to sort of be further refined and processed to produce a sustainable aviation fuel, which could be a gigantic new marketplace for farmers and renewable fuel producers in the country.
Well, and to your point there, so many different hands in the cookie jar, so to speak, here. So having a delay to hopefully, presumably get this right the first time, important, but I will echo some of your concern there. I've heard this from some farmers as well, just some of the, with the climate smart ag piece and the different tillage practices, things like that, maybe some things folks are already doing versus things that folks aren't doing, a little bit of concern on, to your point about how some of that could get figured out with this new GREET modeling and the tax credits, Brian.
No doubt. I think there are more questions and concerns at this stage than there are answers. And so I think we're all in the same boat. And one of the deepest concerns I have is, okay, what if you allow some of these agricultural practices to qualify? What sort of burden of proof are you going to put on renewable fuel producers and the farmers that are supplying feedstocks to them? And so that's going to be a big deal, is sort of the verification of this and how much burden of proof is put on everybody.
Yeah, it's, again, with so many stakeholders involved, hoping we get this right here and get it right relatively soon just to get some certainty. But we'll be watching that news, of course. And folks can stay up to date with more info from the America Coalition for Ethanol at ethanol.org. And with that, CEO of ACE, Brian Jennings. Brian, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us. And we'll get you back on the show again real soon, all right?
Thanks so much, Jesse. Take care.
Brian Jennings with the American Coalition for Ethanol. All right, coming up next, we're going to get an update on the Texas wildfire recovery efforts with Ryan Morehouse from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. He's in Texas. He'll join us next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Learn more at cenex.com. We'll be back right after this.
If you're caring for one of the 16 million Americans living with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, you probably have many questions. COPD makes it harder to breathe and worsens over time. As a caregiver, you may juggle many roles. Being connected to the right resources can help. That's why the Learn More, Breathe Better program and Respiratory Health Association created the COPD Caregivers Toolkit. This free toolkit will help you better understand the disease, prepare for doctor's appointments, navigate home life changes, help after a COPD flare-up, and stay mentally and physically healthy through it all. Help your loved one live better with COPD. Visit nhlbi.nih.gov/COPD-caregivers.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Senex. Extreme cold temperatures put your vehicles to the test. Senex premium lubricants are made with quality ingredients to keep you going. Learn more online at senex.com. Well, right now, here on the program, we want to get an update on the recovery efforts in the Texas Panhandle and parts of the plains from the wildfires and the devastating impacts that we saw in the plains region. Joining us now to give us an update, he is in Texas. He's a board member for the Cattlemen's Beef Board, the Beef Checkoff as well. Ryan Morehouse is with us here on the program. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
You're doing good. Thank you.
Well, let's start with the Texas wildfire recovery efforts and the Southwestern Plains wildfire recovery efforts. I know such a tragic situation, and luckily we've been able to get those fires under control, but now our attention really turns to recovery. Talk about where recovery efforts kind of stand right now, Ryan, and some of the latest you've seen and heard from folks.
Well, it was a terrible event that happened, and probably backing up a little, you know, these folks went through this 7 years ago, so real recent, and it's been tough. You know, it's been tough on the people, and obviously tough on the animals, and I think recovery wise, I think they're recovering. I mean, you know, you're kind of been a lot of donations to that area, feed, and that's in the form of cake and hay, and now they're kind of to the, you know, fencing materials to rebuild some fences, and obviously they've got some charities going just to raise money. A good example, they had a ranch rodeo in Dumas, Texas, which is actually right east of us, about 2 weeks ago, and all the proceeds went to the recovery effort. So I tell you, it's amazing. It's the Texas Panhandle family. When people get in a bind, they really come through and help each other. So it's been really great to watch, but still a terrible, terrible incident, especially so close to the last one, for sure.
Well, and thinking about this, and you mentioned a lot of the great and folks pitching in many different ways. You know, in your thoughts, what is the best way for folks to maybe help with these recovery efforts? Is it by just monetary donations? Is it, you know, building supplies? Is it all of the above? Like, what are the best ways that folks who aren't maybe in the Panhandle region, but they want to help, they can help? What's some of the best ways they could do that right now, Ryan?
Well, I mean, there's numerous ways to help. Like you mentioned, I mean, there's been anything from feed in the form of hay, people donating, you know, cake for the cows, and then fencing materials, building materials, like you mentioned, and then there's cash. So the answer to your question is really all of the above, and some great, you know, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers has got a website and a link you can go to if you just want to give cash, and all that will go to the recovery efforts. You know, that country's gotten a little rain since the fires, and I don't think maybe the whole area, but the folks I talked to, we sit a little west of where the fires were, where we are here. We're in the Western Panhandle, but I've got some really good friends that were in that Eastern Panhandle that were affected by the fire, so I stay in touch with them. And, you know, part of that country's greening back up, and really that's really good for the soul, you know, after what happened. But it's going to take a long time to get that grass reestablished, and it's going to be a long road, but lots of options to donate, and we can, you know, we can share those. Texas Cattle Feeders, all the associations have been real active in helping, you know, set up the center, set up the places you can go to contact people to donate. So, and we can sure share those if we need to.
Well, of course, our thoughts are with folks as they start that slow rebuilding process. And I think about this too, Ryan, and maybe you could shed a little light here. I mean, as far as cattle death loss with the fires, I'm not quite sure how much we ended up seeing. I haven't seen any updated figures there, but I know you think about that tragic side of it coupled with an already tight beef supply. I know that's maybe some concern out there in the cattle industry broadly as well, Ryan.
Yeah, it's terrible. And the timing of this is about as bad as it gets. You know, you had calves on the ground, you know, first part of March, there's a lot of calves on the ground already. And already a tight situation. Now, in the national picture, probably Not as big an effect, but regionally it is. It does have a huge amount effect on the regional supply of cattle. You know, the numbers, I'm like you, I haven't heard an updated number, but, you know, somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000, and possibly could have been more. Kind of what I've heard is the ranches that were really affected where that fire came through lost roughly 70-75% of their herds. Now, not all death loss immediately. They tried to save some of those cows, and some of them they end up having to send to the packing plant because they just weren't viable for the future. But you know, if you save 25-30% of your herd, I think in this situation it was pretty. That's kind of what it is, and that's a tough time, tough deal, and a tough time for this to happen, given the high calf prices, given the tight supplies that we have, which contribute to the high prices. So really hard on producers this round for sure, given the economic situation.
Well, a lot of things to watch, is to your point there, always challenges out there we have to deal with. As we kind of wrap up our conversation today, Ryan, final thoughts from you. Anything that maybe you're excited about, you're working on with the Beef Checkoff right now? I know the Cattlemen's Beef Board's always doing a lot of things. Anything from that side that you're maybe watching right now that you want folks to get excited about as well?
Well, as an officer on the checkoff board, it's been exciting, mainly because, you know, our numbers are a little less too. So you have to do more with less, which has always seemed like the case. As the drought came through and affected the numbers, you had a lot of cows go to market. And so the revenues increased. Well, now you're going to see the revenues decreased as the supply is lower. So just planning for that and working with that and making sure we can do all the things to promote beef demand and, you know, promote research and education with the dollars that we have is kind of our focus right now.
All right. Well, we do appreciate the time. With that, Ryan Morehouse with the Cattlemen's Beef Board Beef Checkoff. Ryan, thanks for joining us and giving us some updates on that Texas wildfire recovery and more. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
And with that, we are up against the clock. We're out of time here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Learn more at Cenex.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other. Leading by example. Experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org, a campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education, teach.org, and 1 million teachers of color.